I'm going to tell you, man, if your mom and daddy ain't proud of you, they need to come up here and just join the Methodist Church. For those of you that doesn't know, his father is a pastor at one of the Baptist churches in Mississippi. Raymond, Mississippi. They've done a good job raising you, boy. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was, where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So, it's clear that this text is talking about repentance. So, what is the definition of repentance? So, this is what Douglas Stern said. Or Douglas Steer said, "Repentance is not only a realization of failure, not only a burst of contrition for having failed the good, not only a readiness to admit this failure freely, but also a determination not to fail good again." So what we have here is John the Baptist. And we all can picture in our minds what John looked like. He wore some weird clothes. He ate really weird food. And I'm pretty sure that the majority of us wouldn't have minded going out and hearing him preach his message, because it was so different. And it would still to this day be so much different than what we hear out of the pulpit today, or even on television, or anywhere else. It was a simple message: repent. Not only, according to our definition earlier, not only do you realize that you're doing wrong, but you make a strong effort not to do wrong again. And all of this is good and fine. I mean, so it says that all these people were going out to hear his message and to see him. And I just kind of wondered there for a little while what they were going out for. Was it because he was different? Was it because he didn't have on the regalia, the robes, the chest plate, and the high mosaic hat that the Levitical law required, and you know, you stand there all prim and proper and everything's just
And then John burst on the scene, kind of like some wild banshee, preaching and teaching something they had never heard before. So maybe they went out to hear him just to see what this dude looked like. Maybe some of them went out because he was interesting. What he said made sense, but they weren't real sure how to take it. Maybe some of them went out there because they didn't like the church. They didn't like going and sitting for X amount of time listening to someone just read and read and read from the Old Testament scrolls. Maybe it was entertaining. Maybe some of them had gotten this gossip going on and heard it that hey, this is that guy that Isaiah was talking about. You know, Elijah coming back in human form again. Or maybe it was because they knew something was wrong in their life and they were needing something. And they wanted to get it right. So for whatever reason, they were going out to hear John speak and John preach. And I thought it was kind of interesting how in this particular text, Matthew changes gears pretty hard. It's kind of like driving a standard, and you've been taught to use the clutch. One day you decide, I'm just going to jam it up in third. Matthew decided, we're fixing to go in a different direction, because it starts in verse 7. And it says that, excuse me, it says, but's always a good word to say. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, it's like, here are all the people, and John's speaking to them. And he is looking across the congregation. And then he turns around and sees some new folks. And it's like, okay, y'all can hang on a minute. I'm preaching at y'all for a while. And he called them a brood of vipers. Now, I thought about that and how that would be taken and accepted in the church today. And I came to the realization this is what would happen. If I were to stand up here and teetotally unleash on the STRC committee, I couldn't get out of the church faster. Because what he did to the Pharisees and Sadducees was he publicly attacked and demeaned them. Here are the leaders and elders of the church. And he calls them a bunch of hypocritical lowlifes. And in the church today, that would be grounds for me looking for another denomination to be in. But what was going on here was John was not just preaching a message of repentance, but he was preaching a message of repentance versus religion. Here you had the religious leaders. Here you had those that kept the law to a T. Here you had those that when you walked into their presence, you had no doubt who they were. Religion was their main focus. And John was trying to let them know, don't let your religion get in the way of your salvation. And he told them. Now, I don't know if he meant it as a joke or if he was using it as an important example, but he said, God can raise up all these stones out here in the road and make children of Abraham. So don't think you're something special. So all that's good and fine. It's neat to read those things. It's neat to understand how John felt about the upper echelon. And from a preacher's standpoint, it's good to know that you don't have to fit into some cookie mold in order to preach the Word of God. But here's the thing. We do fit in the cookie mold. You see, the church today isn't really all that different than the church then. You see, we are pretty heavily into religion. We're no different than those Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, they were serious about their scripture. They knew the prophets almost by heart. We're the same way. We read the Bible. They wanted to please God. Well, we want to please God, right? I would hope there's no one here that doesn't want to please God. And they were serious about their religion. Well, we're serious about our church, right? I mean, we just approved a steeple for the church. We're serious about our church. So, all in all, we're no different than they are. And what John was trying to get them to understand is you've got to repent in order to receive salvation. And the problem there for them, or for the Pharisees and Sadducees, was this. Repentance isn't that easy to pull off. Excuse me. You see, we have to be honest with ourselves and with God that we have a problem. We have to be honest and say, you know, I'm not living the way I need to live. I'm not being the Christian that I should be. And it's really hard to do that with ourselves because we believe we're holier than everybody else. Amen? Amen. Wasn't a whole lot of amens there, Stan. Repentance involves admission and confession of sin. Now, I have no problem admitting and confessing you have sinned. And I'm pretty sure you don't have a problem saying the same thing about me. What we do have a problem with is admitting and truly, truly admitting and confessing our sin. Because we tend to rank sin. Everybody else's sin is worse than ours. And we can justify ours. Right? I can justify everything I do. From not telling the full menu of what I eat to Angie. to justifying waving at people going down 635. I can justify. And that's what we do. We tend to justify who we are and what we do, because it makes us feel good. But we can't have true repentance unless we admit and confess honestly and truly our sin. It also involves changing direction in our lives. Do you remember when you accepted Christ into your heart? How great you felt? How you made all these little lists of things that you were going to do? And all the little lists of things and people that you weren't going to deal with anymore? It's kind of like, a couple of years ago, I had lost a considerable amount of weight. My cardiologist was a happy man. He didn't make any wisecracks at me. And I felt really good. I felt really good about who I was and what was going on. And I said, you know, I'm gonna quit doing this, and I'm gonna quit doing that, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that. And he said, hang on there, buckaroo. He said, you need to deal with the things that are present right now. Because if you overwhelm yourself, you'll accomplish nothing. You see, what he was telling me was, you need to ensure that you have changed this part of your life first, and everything else will start falling into place. You see, if we talk the talk about how great a Christian we're going to be, and all the things we're going to do, and all the things we're going to cut out, and all the people we're going to judge, we end up not moving one iota from where we're at. So we have to be earnest in changing our lives. When we say it or we believe it, we need to follow through with it, because talk is cheap. I know people that can sell you property that don't even exist because they know how to talk, but they don't have the actions. You see, that was the problem with the Pharisees. They didn't admit their sin and their guilt because, as far as they were concerned, they were doing exactly what they were supposed to. And the people that saw them thought the same thing too, because their outer appearance was a lot different than their inner appearance. And John was calling them out. You've got to change. You have got to show proof of your change. So when you really look at repentance in your life, it's not something you can just say, I repent, and everything's honky-dory. We have to do it. The problem that we have as the church today is the same problem that they had as the church then. We have become numb in who we are. So, I'm sure many of you are like me, been in church all your life. You've read the Bible all your life. You know all the Bible stories. You've gone to church every time the doors were open. You have participated in everything that goes on in the church. The unfortunate thing is that we get so involved and so engulfed and so focused on the religious aspects of religion that we forget about the repentance part. We go along and we play church and we do what we're supposed to, and And on Sunday mornings, we show up with smiles on our face. And the fun part is, and I did it this morning to a couple of people. They came in and I just stared at them. And that smile kind of went away a little bit. It's like, uh-oh. Isn't that right, sweetie? You see, we've learned how to play the game and we've become numb to what it really means to be in connection and in the presence of God because it's just what we do all the time. And it's not just the congregations that do it. Preachers are the world's worst. There have been times in my career where I have sat right there thinking, okay, 15 more minutes and I'm out of here. Because it was religion. But I'll tell you this, and today is a perfect example. I walk into the sanctuary this morning and I see Tony sitting there. I haven't seen Tony sitting in his pew in several weeks. And I got this feeling. And then I look across the sanctuary and I see Raylene come in, walking through that door. And I look up and Terry's on a cane. And I'm thinking, woo! This is church. When we forget about, okay, so we're going to do the announcements and then we've got a meeting and then there's going to be some songs and then the preacher's going to get up and run his mouth for a little bit and then we get to go home. But the fact that we get to be in the presence of God with our brothers and sisters and not even care that it's already 11:30. Wow, nobody looked down at the watch. That's cool. You see, that's the message John was trying to get across. Not so much to the people that were coming out that were looking for true repentance, but getting it across to those who were already in God's favor and had forgotten what it felt like to be a forgiven people. So during this time of Advent, as we go through the Advent season that happens every year, and we light candles every Sunday, and then we light a bunch of candles on Christmas Eve, forget all of that. We need to start thinking about why we're where we are today. And that's because God sent His Son to this
unforgiven land to save a bunch of people who didn't care so that He could be in relationship with His Creator. Now, if that don't put some repentance in your life, so dear citizens, brothers and sisters, let's focus on what's important. It's not the liturgy. It's not the parties. It's not about the new Christian clothes. Historically, it's about your Son, Jesus Christ. So some kind of problem, we get so caught up in all the things that are going on is that we forget. And we ask your forgiveness for that. So as we prepare for coming to your Son, renew our hearts and our minds, that we realize what this is all about. It's all about your love and your relationship with us. Help us to share that message with all of us. We pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
For our closing song is 203. This is our hymn of invitation. If anyone would like to become a part of this church family by changing or moving from another church,